Einstein said the distinction between past, present, and future is only a stubbornly persistent illusion, which is essentially what you're saying, a stubbornly persistent illusion, meaning the whole thing is an illusion. Can choices we make really change anything in the past?
Well, yeah, time, again, as I said, it's just a funny thing. And you know, again, you know, as I mentioned, you know, we're talking right now on top of the cutting edge of time, which, again, is really a silly idea. So instead of thinking of time, you know, like this arrow, you should really think of it like one of those old vinyl records you used to play. You know, depending on where the needle is, you hear a certain song, and then that's the present. And before and after is the past and the future. So all the songs exist simultaneously, even if you can only experiencing them piece by piece. And again, this is sort of what that science experiment and other experiments like it have been basically trying to tell us. And again, no physicist questions the fact that particles possess a range of possible states, and that it's not actually until you observe them that they take on real physical properties. So if until the present is determined, how can there actually be a past? And again, Stephen Hawking, as well as the great physicist John Wheeler, agree it can't really be any other way. So John Wheeler actually died last year, but just before he died, he had said he's well known for having said that when you observe light coming from a distant quasar, you know, obviously billions of years off, we're setting up this huge quantum observation on an enormous large scale. And it means, he said, that measurements that we make right now on that light when we observe it determines the path it actually took billions of years ago. So, yes, choices we make now really do change the past.
What possible, if we were to refine this and understand it perfectly, what would we be able to do? Would we be able, for example, to time travel?
Well, yeah. Well, it's interesting. Exactly. There's obviously string theory and other theories that, you know, have tried to address this as well. But I think sometime in the future, science is going to be able to create realities that we can't even begin to imagine. So as we evolve, we'll be able to construct other information systems, other universes that are based on logic completely different than ours and that are not based on space and time. So right now, for instance, our destiny is to live and die in the everyday world of up and down. But what if, for example, we change the algorithms so that instead of time being linear, it was three-dimensional like space? And if that were the case, consciousness could move through the multiverse and would be able to actually walk through time just like we walk through space. So after creeping along for 4 billion years, life would finally figure out how to escape from its corporeal cage.
Can you imagine how that might be done?
Well, yeah, absolutely. I think the whole key, we're trying to understand this now. I think the whole field of artificial intelligence is trying to, you know, how to create thinking machines. And in order to do that, we really need to figure out those algorithms that allow us to actually have what we call consciousness, and that again is understanding those rules that I mentioned that we use in our mind to construct space and time. And once we know how that works and how the mind is constructing that the same way as it does it in our dreams, then we can modify that. And you know, at that point, it won't be rockets to take us the next step. I mean, we're simply going to be able, you know, to create realities that exist outside the known physical universe.
Do we get there when we discover the theory of everything?
Well, I think yes. I think the theory of everything right now, the way physics or science conceives of it, is you know, they want to put together some mathematical equations that explain the various forces of nature, and that's all great. But what a real theory of everything should do is actually not to say, you know, here's an equation. You can write an equation down. It doesn't mean anything unless it explains something very real. And once we truly do know how the world is constructed, how it all operates, yes, I think that at that point, you know, there's got to be a lot, you know, that we're going to be able to do that'll be quite amazing.
I would love to be able to travel to the past. I would just simply love it. And it's been a, I guess, a dream all my life. And you think that one day that will be possible. Is it going to take some sort of discovery in physics, some sort of machine to assist in that? Or do you think that it can be done in consciousness, consciousness?
So first of all, I doubt we could ever do anything using a machine, because I think you're thinking you probably need to think more along the lines. Actually, Christopher Reeves was in a movie called Somewhere in Time.
I was just about to mention that movie.
And there is a reality to this. The truth of the matter is, as I said to you, when Einstein said that that the past and future are illusions, he's very real. Again, as I mentioned to you, we're not just accidentally, like I said, sitting on top of infinity. It's a silly linear idea, and so I think that once we get past that old way of thinking, that I think we'll start making these breakthroughs, and probably rather soon. So I think right now people, for instance, are trying to construct thinking machines, and that putting together these various wires and sensors, and this is all great, but those machines will never think. We're never going to have David of AI or Data from Star Trek. The way we'll do that is once we understand what consciousness is. And consciousness is exactly what space and time are all about. I mean, the external world is the spatial world, and things occur in our mind to make things move, the temporal component of that. And once we understand, as, again, Immanuel Kant, pointed out, hundreds of years ago, I think then we can put together the algorithms so that we will then create a machine or a computer that is able to process information according to those algorithms. And once we can do that, the constructs, these restrictions that we have right now, that we're thinking of space and time, they don't really exist independent of the observer. So that they're not these external things. And once we figure out that, I think we're going to be able to manipulate those, and indeed, through those algorithms, modify them to do whatever we want. I mean, again, that's exactly what you're doing right now. You can go to sleep right now and dream about something else, and you'll experience it, and it'll be just as real as right now you talking to me. I mean, those are things that can actually be constructed simply by, as I mentioned earlier, our mind puts things together. So, for instance, I could use a little genetic engineering and could make everything that you see that's red turn green, or make it vibrate, or make it make a noise. So, again, you can think of, for instance, a frog, a tropical frog. To us, it may feel, cold and dry. I mean, it may feel hot and humid, but to that frog, it would feel cold and dry. So this logic applies to virtually everything. So I think that we are going to be in a position at some time in the future to start playing around with those rules so that we can actually do some of those amazing things, like you said, basically deal with time differently than we do today.